desert island discs. Each week, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone. As usual, the week's castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week has a unique store of memories of the musical scene. A famous singer, she began her career back in the 1890s. She's the widow of a distinguished and well-remembered conductor and composer and pianist, Sir Hamilton Harty. Here is Miss Agnes Nichols, Lady Harty. Well, Lady Harty, how do you feel about a spell on a desert island? Does the thought fill you with horror?
No, I don't think so. Not at all.
It's quite a nice island.
Yes, and I'm full of... I'm very adventurous, really.
Well, how have you gone about choosing your 8 records to take with you?
Well, I chose them in various ways. The first one, because I played in the orchestra as a girl. I was a fiddle, not a singer originally.
Mm.
And I played in this orchestra at about, I suppose, 13. And I thought it was very wonderful, but I was wondering how on earth I should get to the end of the thing properly, because it was so quick, and I was only very young.
What was the piece?
The Marriage of Figaro. The overture to the Marriage of Figaro, it
yes.
was. And then another thing that interested me was because it was the first Mozart opera I ever played in. I played the Countess in it, and so it's always had for me a very great feeling of affection and such lovely things altogether.
Some lovely memories for you.
Yes, lovely. It's funny that the two things sort of coincided with the beginning of my sort of work in music and my first essay in Mozart opera.
Let's listen to it. Of the overture to the Marriage of Figaro with Raphael Kubelik conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra. What comes next?
The Cygnets, I think that's a correct pronunciation, which comes from the ballet The Swan Lake.
Yes, why do you choose this?
Because it was the first ballet I ever saw, and it made a great impression on me. It was so very beautiful. And I was especially attracted by the 4 little dancers who did this particular thing so extraordinarily well. And it was so beautiful to listen to.
Anatole Fistolari conducting the London Symphony Orchestra in that excerpt from Swan Lake. Lady Harty, you said you started your career as a violinist. What made you decide in the first place that music was your vocation?
I think from the fact that my parents were very, very intent amateur musicians.
Mm.
And they had always had a great deal of music in their home. And it was the days when you made parlour tricks yourself. There were no concerts much to go to, perhaps one now and again. No pictures, no anything of that sort. So you had to make music if you wanted it in your own home.
Yes.
And that was how I began. I started when I was five with a fiddle, a little quarter fiddle.
Yes.
And progressed with that. Well, then gradually I began singing. One does, if you're in it, you know, you just do it. And then I sang in a choral class in my boarding school. And that was really how it began.
And then you went to you took a scholarship, didn't you, at the
yes,
Royal College of Music?
I did. My father died, and I went in for the scholarship. I saw it was advertised, and I went and said I was going to try for it. My mother thought I was quite mad. However, I got it.
As a singer?
As a singer. I wasn't allowed to play the fiddle either.
What was your first professional engagement? Do you remember?
Yes, I do indeed. It was at a chapel, or a church rather, when on an Easter Sunday with a great full service. And there was also an orchestra and the organ. And we did the Messe Solennelle, and I had to sing all the tenor parts because the tenor couldn't get the high notes. Couldn't get those high notes.
When did you make your operatic debut?
1902, I think. The Dew Fairy in Hansel and Gretel.
At Covent Garden?
At Covent Garden.
And you sang at Covent Garden for a good many years, didn't you?
On and off until 1914.
And
the war broke
yes.
out. Every kind of part.
Yes.
Big and little.
And apart from that, lots of travels, pretty well all over the world.
Oh, lots of travels. Went up to South Africa, to Australia, to America, and also on the continent.
You sang several times before Queen Victoria, didn't you?
I did indeed. The first time was at her own Diamond Jubilee, when they gave a performance of the Hymn of Praise, St. George's Chapel, Windsor, under Sir Walter Parrott. Madame Albani was the first soprano, Edward Lloyd the tenor, and I sang the second soprano part. I thought I was the earth.
Well, you certainly have some wonderful memories.
I have.
What's your third record going to be?
Oh, may I have the Melba Farewell, please?
Melba's Farewell at Covent Garden, when she sang Mimi for the last time.
Please.
Of Melba. You worked, of course, with all the great singers of what we now know as the Golden Age of Opera, didn't you?
I did indeed. I sang with Caruso and also people like Battistini and Scotti and Destin and others of that celebrated time.
What was your own favourite role?
Hadn't one. No.
Well, let's put it this way. What was your least favourite role?
Pamina. I didn't like playing her at all.
Why?
Because she had lovely music to sing, but I felt I was utterly unsuited to being a little girl, and I was enormous, and I didn't like playing with a little mother who was about 3 inches high, the queen of the night.
Where did you first meet your husband?
I met him in London here. He was engaged to play for me at a concert.
As your accompanist?
As my accompanist. I didn't know him at all.
Yes. You did a great deal of work together.
We did an enormous lot of work. He helped me, of course, enormously with all the great roles that I did. And he taught me many things about orchestral scores so that I should know where things were especially heavy and where to reserve myself and such things. Because I played roles, which in many ways I expect were too big for me, like Isolde and things like that. But he helped me all over those things.
Yeah. Well, what's your fourth record?
Well, The Fair Day. It's my husband's work. It's the second movement out of his Irish symphony.
Yeah.
And I just adore it, and I wanted something in this program that I was doing with his.
Sir Hamilton Harty conducting the Halley Orchestra in the scherzo from his own Irish Symphony. Lady Harty, since your retirement, you've retained all your enthusiasms for music, haven't you? You hear all you can.
Indeed I have. I go to everything I possibly can. I don't want to get behind.
Do you think the standard of singing is as good now as it was when you started your career?
Honestly, no. I think there is still excellent singing in some ways. But what I would call the rank and file is so much more ordinary than it used to be.
Yes. Can you think of any reason for that?
Yes, I do think that it's possible they all have to work too hard. They have to learn quickly. They have to do everything for themselves. They have to cook and housekeep and travel, and nothing is very easy today. And I really think that has a great deal to do with it. I may be wrong, but there it is.
And what about the productions?
Oh, I think you mean the theatrical productions?
Yes.
Oh, I think some of them are magnificent.
Compared with the ones that you were in?
Oh, many of them are infinitely better. I mean, take a thing like The Trojans, which they did lately at Covent Garden, magnificent show.
Mm-hmm.
And the new Aida they've done there is excellent too.
Well, let's have another record. What's number five?
Nimrod, please. Nimrod from Sir Edward Elgar's Enigma Variations.
And why do you choose it?
Partly because I'm so very fond of it, but also because I did a great deal of work with Sir Edward, but the work I've done with him is not really suitable to break up and put on a record on a thing like this, because there are mostly things out of oratorios, like The Kingdom.
Yes.
So I thought if we could have the Nimrod, which is so entirely characteristic of him, and so very lovely, it would be nice.
Nimrod from the Enigma Variations conducted by Sir Thomas Beecham. Now what?
Oh, the spring song from the Valkyra, please.
Yes.
Sung by Walter Hyde. In English.
Yes. You sang in the Ring during its first production in English, didn't you?
The first production in English I sang in. So did he. He was also a fellow student of mine at the Royal College of Music. It's a lovely voice. And when he left the college, he went to work at once, and he went mostly, I think, on the light opera stage. I remember that at the time of the English Ring, he was playing in My Lady Molly. And Mr. Percy Pitt, who was arranging all the parts with Dr. Hans Richter, asked me if I thought he would be able to do the Siegmund. I says, no one better. And they got him to come down and sing. They were just delighted with him. And so then he came and sang, and of course he was famous in a night. And that's why I would love to have the spring song. It sounds beautiful today.
Winter storms have waned in the moon of May, with tender radiant sparkles of spring. On balmy breezes, light and lovely, waving wondrous sun he floats. O'er wood and meadow waft his breezing, widely open loves his eye. In a blithesome song of birds he sounds his voice, sweet and fragrant breeze he pour. From his ardent blood bloom out on a joy-giving blossom, bud and shoot spring up by his might.
Lady Harty, have you any qualifications, do you think, as a castaway? How would you manage on this island?
Well, I'm a very practical person, which is surprising, I suppose, being a singer.
Yes.
They always say that if you're an artist, you're not a practical person. But I think I was, and am, still. And I think I'd do all right in most ways.
Build a shelter?
Oh, well, I'd try and find rocks to do that. So I could get under rocks and draw leaves round for a shelter.
Mm. What would you eat?
Oh, that's another matter. I don't know. It's difficult. But I think there'd be lots of fruit, wouldn't there?
Oh, I think so. Ever done any fishing?
Oh, I've done lots of fishing in my day. We used to go to Sutherland to fish always every year. Once I was nearly pulled out of a boat by a salmon, I may tell you. Saved by the gilly.
Are you a good cook?
Yes, quite good.
You're going to be all right on this island. Let's leave that subject and get back to records.
Oh.
What next?
Oh, I want the funeral march from Götterdämmerung.
Yes, why?
Just because I adore it. Don't think there's any other reason, but I think it's marvellous.
Of Siegfried's funeral march, conducted once again by Sir Thomas Beecham. And now we come to your last record.
The Hallelujah Chorus, please, from Handel's Messiah.
Why?
Because the Messiah was one of the first oratorios I ever heard. It was in Gloucester Cathedral at the musical festival. I don't remember the year, but I was quite young. But I was so impressed by that chorus, I never forgot it. Years later, I heard it again sung by the Sheffield Musical Festival Chorus. And again, the impact was something colossal.
Well, I'm afraid we can't give you either of those performances that you heard, but here's a recording by the Huddersfield Choral Society with the Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, and it's conducted by Sir Malcolm Sargent.
That'll be glorious. Well, you know, I don't think I should do too badly on my island with all those lovely records, do you?
Oh, lovely records indeed. And as well as those records, you're allowed, of course, one luxury. What are you choosing to take with you?
Oh, I want a big dictionary, one of the old-fashioned dictionaries.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'll never be short of reading then. Never. Because, you know, you never can stop when you once look at it.
You mean one word takes you on to
another? Yes, all the drawings of all the animals and things.
Yes.
All the wonderful things, those old dictionaries.
All right, you shall have the biggest and most illustrated one we can find. But choose something else. If anyone chooses a book, we usually say something else as well.
Oh, well, I know what I want. A lovely big bottle of French perfume.
All right, the biggest bottle in London. And thank you very much, Lady Hearty, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Disc.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Plumley, for my delightful afternoon of talking with you about all the things I loved in my youth.
Goodbye.
And still do.
Good.
Goodbye.